You're the thing. Oh my gosh, I love you. Da-da-da. Yeah. Dun 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 dun. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, no, excuse me. Just be falling on the place. Getting like that. Drawn sideways, just drawn up and down. Didn't anchor itself very well. Today and tomorrow, Lee. And then we hide away. Come on, it's kind of big. Yeah. Sometimes you don't even need an excuse. You could look over there. Oh, yeah. Okay. Spot. Just good point. Yeah. Mini girls don't get in. Yeah. Yeah. You saw, huh? Oh, yeah, that's good. Wow. You must have brought it in from somewhere. I think it kind of goes between Caliche and Sands. Mm-hmm. Can't think of anything better to do right now. I could start yakking out about UUCP, but that's kind of on the character side. I'm going to put my server at home on an old-timey network. And Unix copy program. Before the internet, it was how computers at a distance talked to each other. You could do it over phone lines, but it was automated. You know how I used to do it? Mm-hmm. It was just some idiot on a computer, yeah. And, but this was all automated. It would call and connect, transfer all kinds of information between the two, and then it disconnects. You know, and then you had all that information available to you. Files. Some files set up to behave like mail. Some files set up to behave like whatever. Before the internet was before the internet existed, which is always on, you know. You can send a message whenever you can, well, please, it'll get there in, you know, a second. Back in the old days, you could kind of do the same thing, but it would usually take a day to a week for it to finally get to its destination. Very elementary networking, but it did the job. And we'll call it fault resistance. They always used to say, oh, the internet's so great because no matter what happens, if there's a nuclear blast, it'll still work. And you're going, actually, with the new one, That's not necessarily true. And you go, now with the older one, this one, the kind of UCPP kind of network, like that, that one could. It would send around kind of a map of where all the different systems were, and the interconnect between them. And so, if you tried to dial out to connect with another service, but you couldn't do it, it would just try the next server. And if you could get to any of those servers, it would eventually make its way around the whole network, even if parts of the network were actually not functioning. So that one was pretty good. And of course it was made for using telephone lines, which isn't terribly relevant these days. Now that uses the internet too. But, you know, and you could set it so that it would go like, okay, these are inexpensive routes, you know. Put it on a timer. Tell it to do it in the middle of the night when the rates are low, right? You remember those days, yes? The daytime was expensive. Evenings were a little better. And if it was from like 11 o'clock to 7 in the morning, it was quite a bit cheaper. And so your program would take all that stuff into account. It would take into account links it could make that were local calls and therefore cost either nothing or very, very little. And it would prefer those over long distance calls. Anyway, so now the modern analog of it uses the same kind of methodology, but it does it over the internet anyway. So it's just nostalgic, really. So I think it's kind of like amateur radio, which is a lot of people think it's very nostalgic too. We got cell phones. What do I need an amateur radio for? And you go, what happens if your beloved cell phone's not working? It said, the one nice thing about radio is totally decentralized, you know? If you have a radio on one end, another guy has a radio at the other end, you can talk to each other, that's right. With a cell phone, it's not just the two cell phones at the other end. But yeah, well, sometimes two cell towers, because your little individuals have to get to their individual cell towers. And then there has to be an infrastructure between those cell towers to make it work. And you go, if any piece of that goes batty, it doesn't work. For whatever reason. It said, for radio, all you have to worry about is your end. You know, the thing that links you together is the air. Oh yeah. But that's what field day is for. Is testing out your cool new equipment for, you know, being able to handle these tricky situations, right? But the batteries, hooked up to a generator maybe. portable antennas you can strap to your vehicle. Yeah. You know? This whole amateur radio thing, they're made for emergency stuff. You can bring it in, and you can get communications into people. But for some reason, have knocked out like Hurricane Katrina, right? Cell service was down. Everybody was screaming, I can't believe. Because number one, you guys have absolutely no understanding about how any of this crap works. Yeah, I know. I can't believe it. My cell service sucks. And you go, excuse me? It's a radio. Short distance, too. My bandwidth short distance. Yeah. Ah. So, yeah, and this thing kind of functions on the same basic level. And what it basically requires is a deeper understanding of what's going on. Because there's a whole lot of people that say, I hook a wire up to a box and everything works. Yeah, you get stupid. Yeah, they're crapped up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What can you do? Anyway. So. These guys that look at it that way, everything's kind of in a black box. Yeah. So yeah. It just goes from the whole thing that people don't have a deep understanding of things. Particularly. And you can make the excuse that you know, well, we're all getting more specialized. And you go, can I really be honest? Because this is another thing. This is actually a sexual difference. You know? Because I think the more feminine nature tends toward this kind of a thing. You know? And the feminists are the worst for it. We can do anything that men can do. And you go, if men stop doing what men do, I give you guys about a year. Oh, yeah. Well, if you really want to know what the fall of communism was, it was exactly that. Socialism. Breeds an absolute complacency about understanding what understanding the basics. It has more to do with, I don't know what it does. That's why when people say, oh, if we just do it right, it'll work. And you go, no, it can't be done right. It depends on too many things that can't be depended on. It's like, what would happen to the world if the oxygen stopped working? We'd all die. That simple. And you go, thank goodness, it worked without us getting involved at all. You can do that as a given. And it works as a given because it's there. Unless you really pollute and screw things up. So let's say something happened to your household electrical service, for instance. You know, let's go crazy. Let's say a circuit breaker goes out. In the Soviet Union, if something along those lines happened, you would just abandon that building, walk away, and go to another building where the electrical service is still running. Socialism can only even start in a circumstance with a lot of surplus or with a good amount of surplus. It sucks in all that surplus, right? And it goes, look at all this stuff we have. Starts distributing it all out, right? Mm-hmm. The only problem is you're not really creating anything new. You're just redistributing. In the Soviet Union, they really lacked for anything. But the sad part was, they had natural resources galore. But they weren't working on it. They weren't doing anything with it particularly. So everybody says, Cuba's so beautiful, and you go, yeah. I said, because everything switched off the minute the communists took over. You know, they all say, oh, it's so cool. They all have these cool old plastic cars, and you go, yeah. They never built another car. They, you know, they go, oh, look at this fantastic architecture. And you go, yeah, because they haven't built anything since. Not particularly. Maybe a few projects, but not anything like people with a profit motive or people who can act independently. Well, just by nature do. Europe adopts a very slow, creeping socialism. And they haven't done a very good job of it, which means there's still a lot of individual initiative. It's surprisingly difficult to kill that off. You can do it, though. And that's why Europe still survives. It's like taking a pretty strong person and constantly bleeding them all the time, you know. In fact, we're just going to attach a tube to you. It'll be permanently put in. And we'll just get a pint out of you on a monthly basis. you know, it's all about managing it to see how much they can take from you without really damaging you. The communists didn't do that. They just took from you and didn't care if you really died. Individual people were not terribly interesting to them. So everything that you did got given to the collective, mostly squandered, because they don't take into account the fact that there's a great deal of distribution that's very wasteful. That's just gonna be wasteful. And so you lose a lot. The problem is, you give them all this blood, right? And they're supposed to give you back like chicken or something. Then you go, toilet paper. And they take about 10 quarts of blood and they give you 3 or 4 rolls of toilet paper. And you go, wait a minute, this is a crappy exchange. And they go, no, this is just, this is right. This is what we were able to give you based on what we took from you. And you go, I would have done better on my own selling off my excess and buying toilet paper with it. Oh, but that wouldn't be right. That's dirty capitalism. And you go, it means everybody's deficient. I love you. Oh.